The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
See, the Texans have announced plans for their second home game for fans.
I have not seen that.
The goal is to get 15,000 fans in for the Vikings game, which would be October 4th. I mean, I don't really have any interest in going to a Texans game in person. I prefer watching it on TV. But there are some things I might want to do. Like, I might be more interested in going to, I'll certainly be interested in going to a UH game. Might be interested actually in going to a Dynamo game, more so than the Texans.
I'm not looking to go to games.
See, that looks like late November for college basketball.
Yeah, and I saw, like, the Big Ten was talking today about a bubble situation. So I'm interested to see how that works out, certainly. I don't think you can have, during the regular season, like the conference season, have a bubble. These guys got to go to school. But I do think you can set up these sort of pods where guys come and you play a few games and then you go back to school for a while. I think that we could start seeing more of that.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And, of course, you can watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. And sometimes there's conversations on the break. So, missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Pretty sportsy. And we're going to keep it sportsy because we're going to have Taylor McCarg, former Rice quarterback, college football analyst for ESPN, joins us as he does every week to talk a little college football. And, man, it looks like we're going to have a little more college football to talk about because the big news is that the Big Ten is going to join the party. Taylor, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm glad that they're coming back. I think the biggest thing that's jumped out to me the whole time is just that they panicked. And I didn't ever think they needed to make that decision when they did. I don't think you can blame people, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten for thinking in that direction and making the, trending in that direction to make the decision. I never thought they needed to do that when they did. So, glad that they're coming back. I have some concerns about the restrictions that they have around testing are really stringent, and it's going to be, I mean, they're really threading the needle with getting the season off, but it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Ohio State seems like they've known this was going to happen the whole time because they've been practicing the whole time like it was going to happen. Do you expect them to be more prepared than some of these other schools, like the Northwesterns and these schools who just assumed that, well, okay, I guess we're not playing?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Michigan also, maybe it was just Jim Harbaugh being active, but at least I have the impression that they're going to be more prepared along with Ohio State than some of the others that maybe didn't think that that they would be playing. And you wonder what sort of disadvantage there's going to be with, you know, if Ohio State's out there getting actual live reps in and there's other schools that aren't. That matters, especially with if you haven't, you know, practiced at all since either an abbreviated spring or no spring at all, and you put the pads on, that's going to be a stark contrast between those teams.
With so many guys already deciding, oh, I'm opting out, and a lot of the guys who opted out initially were from the Pac-12 and the Big Ten because they weren't playing anyway, and now, okay, well, things are on. How difficult is it going to be for some of these guys who have said they're opting out to get back into things, especially if they've decided, hey, I'm going to start my NFL process, hire an agent and all that? I mean, are they even going to be allowed to come back?
If they've hired an agent and collected any sort of money, but if they've hired an agent, then no, they're now moving forward. They're going to have to, they will no longer have college eligibility. But if it's just a guy that just tweeted and said, you know, I don't really care to go to the facility anymore, I want to start training for the draft, so to speak, but doing that on their own, then they can opt in, opt out. As long as they're not hiring an agent, it doesn't really matter. There's no, you don't get automatic, you don't lose eligibility just by saying it. Now, what triggers it is the moment they hire an agent.
Taylor, one of the things that I thought was interesting this week was Houston and Baylor coming together to put together a game when both of them lost theirs because of COVID issues. Is this something that we might see more of? And I think it's kind of cool, actually, because schedules are done so far in advance to be able to pull something together like that on short notice.
I do. I think you'll see that throughout the year. I think there's going to be matchups that get postponed and or canceled throughout the year, and teams have to be flexible. The programs that are bought in and want to play, they're going to do their best to find matchups. Sometimes you can't, but I commend them to, like you said, being creative and getting on the phone and just figuring it out. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that you're seeing right now. And it's exciting for people. You know, it's you get a taste of it, and it's so fun to have football back. So, again, I really commend U of H for jumping on this and getting this matchup, and a solid matchup at that. It's not like they went out and got somebody that you know they're going to, you know, beat by 100 or something. This is a legitimate matchup that there's going to be a lot of excitement around.
With what we've seen of the Big 12 so far, I mean, this is if that's any indication, then UH should be licking their chops right now, because the Big 12 looks like they were totally unprepared. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Big 12, save Texas and Oklahoma, looked like they were totally unprepared for what was coming.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in the Big 12 for this first weekend. And like you said, it's really out of three teams. I mean, Kansas State, and Iowa State. I thought it was completely unacceptable. If you're a Big 12 fan, you got to be a little bit angry, because if it's one team, it happens, right? I mean, LSU lost to Troy not that long ago, so these things happen. But to have three of your teams lose to three Sun Belt schools in the same weekend, it just sends a horrible message. And I don't think it will come to this, but I just want to throw this out there that this is the best possible scenario for the American Athletic Conference to get a team into the Final Four. And the worst possible scenario is that the Big 12 looks really weak and you have a one-loss champion, and there's a legitimate argument to be made that the American might be as good as the Big 12 this year. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Oklahoma State's going to get in throw their hat in the mix, and they've got a lot of talent coming back. Texas and OU looked really sharp. I think West Virginia could be pretty good this year. But for this first weekend, the first impression, I was really let down by what they put out there.
Obviously, a former quarterback. Curious what you thought of some of the big name guys. I'll start with Sam Ehlinger. What'd you like about what he did on Saturday?
Man, I thought he looked sharp. And I know that UTEP is not very good, but there's a difference in just being better than a team and having better athletes, and being sharp. And I thought that Sam came out and commanded the offense. There were no pre-snap issues. I thought he looked exactly like what you would hope for a senior that's played a ton of football. And he's going to have a great year. I've said this for a long time, but if last year's Texas team didn't have him, that's not a bowl team. I mean, he carried them through a lot of those games, especially late in the season when they had so many injuries. But I was really impressed with his performance, even though it wasn't a great UTEP team.
Spencer Rattler, who looks like he may be another, Oklahoma Heisman candidate, at least through one game, pretty impressive start. What do you think of him?
Yeah, he's a firecracker. I mean, that guy, and you go back, I don't know if any of the listeners have watched him on the Netflix, the QB, I forget the name of the show, but even through his high school career, he's just a playmaker. And again, I know not a great opponent in week one, but he just makes big plays. And I think he's got a little bit of he's not quite the same athlete, but he's got that Johnny Manziel just figures it out in him. And I think that's the stuff that you look to. And when you talk about a Heisman, that's what you point to, because he's going to have those big moments throughout his career.
Sam Howell, who is kind of everyone's darling, and I'm bummed that we don't get to see him again this week, and as their game got canceled, obviously, and I'll get your thoughts on that in a minute, but what'd you think of him week one? Obviously a slow start, but came on late and made a nice little run.
Yeah, they looked like they were sleepwalking, and I think, it's easy to point the finger at him as the quarterback, but you got to remember, he's only a sophomore. Couple interceptions, not great, but again, they figured it out late in the game, and to be able to close out the game the way they did is what you want to see. Mac Brown's going to have them more prepared, would have been this week, but whenever their next game ultimately ends up being, they'll be prepared. And Sam's another guy that he's young, and he's shown already to this point that he has the potential to really take this team. I have them in his junior and senior year. They've got real potential to sort of turn the tide in the ACC, I think. It's not going to happen this year. I still think they're a couple pieces away, and they need Clemson to lose a few guys, namely their quarterback. But he's going to be somebody that's going to be a lot of fun to watch the next couple of years.
Well, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence, who pretty much consensus the top draft pick going into next season. I mean, this seems like the future of a future NFL star. What do you think of him in week one?
Yeah, this is going to be everybody, you know, the generic answer. But man, he's just so fun to watch, and he's so dialed in. Looks like what you want. He looks like a can't miss. You know what I mean? He looks like he's going to translate day one to the NFL, almost like you could drop him into a system tomorrow. He's played so much football at such a high level that when you watch him, it's almost like you just expect him to hit the home run, hit, you know, everything from the quick game over the middle to the downfield shot to throwing it away when he needs to. You just don't expect him to make mistakes, and I thought he put out a great performance against Wake Forest.
Is there a game this weekend that you're particularly looking forward to?
There's a couple of them. You know, I think Miami-Louisville is one that two ranked teams early in the year. You got to be excited about that. There's a couple other, if you're a fan of the Group of Five, which really there's not a lot that's awesome this weekend in the Power Five. Until we get the SEC back, it's going to be pretty thin in that regard. If you're a fan of the Group of Five, watch Appalachian State and Marshall this weekend. They got bumped up to the CBS primetime slot, the actual CBS 2:30 slot. Marshall is hosting, and I think both of those teams could win their respective conferences. I'd say App State, Marshall, and then for the Power Five, I'd say Miami and Louisville should be a good game.
You know, you were talking about the disappointment of the Big 12 a little earlier, but kind of on the flip side, Louisiana looked pretty good in that game against Iowa State. Were you surprised at all to see? And now they're number 19 in the rankings. But when you watch that game, it looked like they were the better team.
It did. And what surprised me, I didn't, you know, not super surprised that they kept it competitive and maybe that they would have, you know, went on a last second field goal or something. I was just impressed that they made Iowa State one dimensional on offense. And I get that Iowa State, they had some drops and some offensive struggles of their own. But they did. They just looked like the better team. And really impressive performance out of them and Arkansas State. And I get that it's the Sun Belt, and sometimes these are not the sexiest of teams and the name brand teams. But they've got a couple, you know, Arkansas State, ULL, and App State could make a lot of noise this season.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg, ESPN analyst. Appreciate the time, man, and we will talk to you. We'll talk some more college football with you next week.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you. Taylor McCarg from ESPN.
All right. Forgot to ask him if he had a game this weekend.
No, I don't think he does. I don't think he does.
The schedule's still not enough there, but I'm just kind of curious because I like listening to him.
I think it's going to open up next week, though, so hopefully he's got one.
Yeah. Well.
And I'm guessing the Big Ten coming back means that there's just that many more games, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but then when you're talking about App State on CBS and
right.
In the usual, you know, Florida or Alabama spot. So, all right, guys, I have to tell you who's always in the winning spot, our friends at Harry's. And they've got brand new blades. They're sharp as ever, and they're not charging you more for that. In fact, their new sharper blades are still just as low as $2 each. And, man, I love Harry's. I've been using them now for years. It's the only razor I use. And you can get them now at the Walgreens, your CVS, all those places. But if you like to shop online, as I do, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And now's the perfect time to try them if you haven't done it before, because you will love them. They're available wherever you shop. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you like to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for the Blitzers. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try. harrys.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. There's all kinds of ways to get in. Just jump right in. Get on Twitch. Mike's going to Vegas in mid-October with a big group for my 40th. How can I get some Fred advice at the sports book if I need some? Just get on Twitch during the show. And we'll, you know, just hit us up. And if there's something we like, we'll pass it on. I had a friend went to Vegas and kind of gave me a report on it. He said the strip is really dead during the week. It picks up a little bit on the weekends. But not there's a lot of places not open that are usually open. And, you know, it's just like anything else. But I still don't have any desire to travel via airplane. And as of now, you know, the Canadian border is still closed until October 1st. So I'm not going to be able to go there anytime soon.
No.
And I just realized that my passport expires October 1st, and I've got to get a new passport. So anyway, yeah, enjoy it, man. I missed the Game of Thrones segment. Any idea of doing something like that with another show? There's not really anything that is out there like that, and so I don't think that's going to happen again. We'll do some updates here and there. Now, The Boys is probably the closest, but I'm just not into this once a week thing.
I'm not either.
Plus, it's on a Friday, and so by the time we get to Monday, it's football to talk about.
Yeah, those days are gone of being able to talk a show like the day it comes out, like the day an episode plays, because it just doesn't work. Things don't work that way anymore. Everybody can watch their things on demand now, and you're either spoiling for people or people haven't seen it. It's not the same as it was, you know, 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, and basically, when we had shows like that, the early days of Walking Dead, for instance, and then Game of Thrones, and then there were a few others too, but that's just not how people consume things anymore. So I don't know. I don't know that we'll ever have that again. In fact, I think that was something I sort of brought up after Game of Thrones was would we ever have destination TV again like that, where everybody
probably not.
And I just I don't see it happening. And I know they're trying to do it with The Boys, and it's backfired on them because that's not a platform where people are used to that. You know, if you're on Amazon, you expect it all to drop at once so you can binge it on the weekend and then you're done with it. And that kind of stuff, maybe you talk about the whole series, but you know, I don't think it's ever going to happen again. 713-780-ESPN's the number, man. Okay. I think about this every now and then because I'm an old about ways of dying and ways I don't want to die. I've always had a thing about elevators. I always felt like the worst deaths happen in elevators. Like I remember during Allison, some guy was in an elevator and went down to the basement and it was flooded. And so he drowned in an elevator. And I just thought, what a horrible way to die. How about this? A Boston University lecturer, 38 years old, was crushed to death by an elevator in her building after she overloaded it with a package and it caused it to suddenly drop, trapping her between the floors.
Oof.
I mean, crushed to death. Crushed to death always sounds bad.
There's no good way to get crushed to death.
Yeah, but she was loading a box, and when she put it on there, it suddenly dropped, and apparently the package may have triggered the sensor, and it caused the elevator to start moving, and it said, the wife said she saw the lady's arms hanging on to her package.
Oh.
Okay, so I would have to say not... In probably a top 10 way to not die.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
And I don't know why I've always feel like bad things happen on elevators. But it was kind of
I mean, sometimes it's a good thing. Sometimes they just take you up or down where you want to go.
Yeah,
that's nice.
And that's cool. But when they crush you, and it was kind of an old elevator. So... Yeah. Anyway, just thought I'd throw that little bit of pleasantness out there.
Always fun. Thanks, Fred. Now I've got to, I'm going to take the stairs down.
Well, see, I take the stairs. I take the stairs down every after every show. So, of course, bad things can happen in a stairwell too.
Yeah, a lot of people fall down the stairs.
Do you ever watch horror movies?
Yeah,
yeah. Sometimes things happen there too. So you know, don't not take the elevators. Just don't load it up so much that it takes off and then crushes you, and that your hands are hanging off. So it looks like you know, we're talking about Texans getting 15,000 fans. It looks like almost every AFC South team is going to have fans here by early October, because the Colts already have some. We know the Jaguars do, and it looks like Tennessee is going to do it also sometime in October. Does it surprise you that the AFC South would be one of the first ones to get all of
them? Totally unsurprising, but I mean, listen, everybody's looking for a way to get fans back in the seats. Everybody's looking to make some money. I get it. I mean, it makes sense, but we'll see. I think it's going to be how the first few that try it, what the reaction is to that is going. I think it's going to be a big factor.
Yeah, and I'm okay with all this stuff, and I think it's fine as long as, you know, my plea to people would be just please follow the rules this time. You know, just wear the mask, do what you're supposed to do. All of those things. If we keep doing that, we'll be able to get more and more people back together. And, you know, get some of these business kick-started. So, and Rob was saying Game of Thrones was once a week, too. Yeah, but that was how it always was.
Yeah.
It's not, and it wasn't, yeah. And the thing is, with Netflix and Prime especially, when they drop a series, that's how they, I mean, that's what you're used to. That's the MO for those things, is to drop the entire series.
And the boys blew it with this. I really think so.
I do, too. This has been, they've gotten a lot of negative pub for it, and frankly,
they got negative pub on this show, of all shows.
Yeah, the show that loved them.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're saying, bad call. And we have a lot of clout, so obviously next season they won't do this again.
Well, with the TV-watching public in Houston and Beaumont and that's Port right. Arthur. And now Katy and Sugarland, if you're on 92.5.
92.5.
We do have clout. But yeah, that's the thing. I don't believe that there will be... I don't believe shows are going to be consumed like that anymore once a week. It's just, you know, not shows that are going to be worth talking about. So, are we expected to wear masks for the rest of our lives? No, not the rest of your life. But who really? I you know what? You're going to have to wear them as long as you have to wear them.
Yeah.
Can we just, you know, there's no point in bitching about it. When we have a vaccine or a cure, and you don't have to. And I'm okay with wearing the damn things anyway. It doesn't really matter. I'm a little upset with Aaron for telling me you can't wear neck gaiters on a plane. I got this really...
I didn't tell you that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
I thought you said you couldn't wear neck gaiters on a plane.
Somebody on Twitch said that. I said that. I saw plenty of people on my flights from Denver and back from Denver wearing gaiters, and United didn't say anything.
No, well, maybe it's an airline thing, because I heard somebody was saying that their airline, like, they were like, nope, can't wear that. You can't get on the plane with that.
Because... You know, I mean, I have this really nice Boomer Natural neck gaiter
with nano silver
that's very comfortable and very good. So I can't wear this, but I can wear my little cloth Toronto Maple Leafs one.
Yeah.
That's basically just cloth.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Fortunately, I do have another Boomer Natural that's the regular mask type.
Right.
But I prefer these. I like these. I mean, I always have. But I don't know if you saw this. But there was a study about people who refused to wear masks. And according to the study, people who refuse to wear masks or social distance are more likely to be sociopaths.
Yeah, you think? I will say this. If you think wearing, like, being asked to wear a mask is like being oppressed, that just tells you that, it tells me that you've never been oppressed. You don't understand what oppression is.
It says people who won't wear face masks are likely to be sociopaths and feel socially detached.
This is not shocking.
So for those of you who bitch about the mask, you have been analyzed, and callousness, deceitfulness, and manipulativeness are signs of a sociopath.
All right.
So sounds
if like you're kind of folks.
Don't wear one. That's kind of what you are. So there you go. Somebody said I had no issue with Southwest Airlines with the neck gaiter style. Okay, good. I guess I'll just have to find out from the airline before I go. It's
yeah.
not that big a deal. I'm sure they'll give us a whole thing about what you can do and what you can't do. They I'm sure they sent you that, didn't they, Aaron? Like a whole, here's what you have to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
When you confirm your thing, and then when you actually check in the 24 hours before, they give you a list of like, hey, if you experience any symptoms within the next 24 hours, don't come anywhere near the airport. And then they also line out what they do in between flights and everything to sterilize and clean everything.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, I think it's it just wouldn't make sense that you have a high-quality product like this and you couldn't wear it, but you could just wear
a T-shirt over your face.
Yeah, and essentially that's what that is. I mean, it's cool because it's Maple Leafs, but it's just cloth.
Yeah.
So, all right, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Sue the Body says people in China and India do it due to air pollution. Quit your bitching. Yeah, look, it's one of those things you just, if you want to be able, you can't have it both ways. You can't open things back up and try to get back to normal if you're not willing to do it. So just please, guys, you've lost that battle. Just live with it. And now I'm getting somebody says flew Southwest 5 times last week. Every time they said no gators or masks with filters. Well, I get the mask with filters thing, but I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with the gator. In fact, I'm offended that people are saying this about gators. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have 3-layer nano silver protection. Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. A lot of people wanting your take on the UFC card and the UFC signing today.
I think both are cool. It's a great card this weekend. It's free. So, I mean, it's always fun when it's free. Someone was asking, like, why are some cards so good and some, like, this one stacked and some, like, last weekend's didn't really have any big names, even though the last week's their main event fell off COVID reasons. So that makes a difference. But Michael Chandler, the former Bellator champ, got signed, and I think they signed him in hopes that he would fight Tony Ferguson since they didn't want to pay Dustin Poirier to fight him. But yeah, he's going to be a good addition. That lightweight division is just so stacked all the time. I mean, it's super solid. So,
I assume you'll have a package for the people on pregame.
Yeah, I will. I've been putting it up on Thursdays. I'm not putting it up until tomorrow after weigh-ins because I refuse to do that anymore. The fallouts have been killing me. So I'm just not. I'm going to wait, and I don't know. I guess I normally put them in early because I'm trying to get the best number I can get, but that's...
Right, but at the same time, so much changes, and I ran into that with the horse picks. You know, they want them up by Thursday so people can get them, and it doesn't really make sense because the odds are going to be what they are, but then when you get scratches and stuff, it's like, okay. I mean, it's same thing as fighters not making weight or whatever, and then people get mad at you, and it's kind of like,
I was just looking at this. Have you seen Shane Bieber's numbers? Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians?
I have not.
This guy, if this were a full, I mean, obviously it's not a full season, so we'll never know if he would have been able to maintain this.
You want to go with no, but
he's pitching tonight. He goes into tonight with a 7-1 record. His ERA through 10 starts is 1.53. He's pitched 64 and two-thirds innings. He has 102 strikeouts. That's absurd. And 16 walks.
That's better than your Korean guy.
He's better than Koo Chang Mo, I think. So that's 14.2 Ks per nine with a 1.53 ERA. Compare that to Justin Verlander's Cy Young winning season last year, where he had a 2.58 ERA, and his Ks per nine was about 12.1, which is, I mean, that's pretty strong. But we're talking 14.2 and a point lower, a full point lower in ERA. He's quietly having, like, a ridiculous season.
I don't know if that's quiet. I mean, you're 7-1 in this thing.
But I just said, like, did you know his stats?
No.
Like, no, I don't know. Nobody's really buzzing
about
him.
I'm not really paying much attention to baseball, even the Astros right now that football started. So it doesn't mean I'm not.
Right.
But it just means, you know, it's way down my list of priorities right now. And maybe that will change when we get to the playoffs. But I check in and make sure I know what's going on. But I'm not following it all that closely, other than Fernando Tatis,
right?
Who, you know?
Well, they're going to have presumably the Indians will have Shane Bieber, Carlos Carrasco, and Mike Clevenger pitching in a playoff series.
It's pretty good.
And Zach Plesac, who also quietly has a 2.20 ERA. So the Indians, that's an interesting team to watch, and their hitting is what it's been. It's kind of meh. That's what it's been the last several years. But those guys can pitch. They can pitch.
Is that a what are their odds to win the whole thing?
I have to look that up,
because I especially the way this season is going. I mean, with the short season, I think having a 1-2-3 punch could take you a long way.
It really could.
So,
current odds: Yankees 3-1. Which, boy, these, is this current? This can't be current. Okay, I gotta find some better.
They
odds
also won't
these.
Have Clevenger. Clevenger's in the
Padres. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. With the Padres now, so maybe but still, please.
But they still have a strong.
Yeah, they're
rotation
strong
going into the playoffs.
I gotta find the futures odds, because the one I'm finding here says Astros 7-1, and I don't buy.
Hey, I have a pretty good, while you're looking for it.
All right,
I have a pretty good way to punish criminals. That's we're running into a bunch of Karens who won't wear their masks,
right?
Well, in Indonesia, people who refuse to wear masks are forced to dig graves for coronavirus victims.
Well,
I kind of like that.
Seems only fair, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like better than a fine.
Okay, here's the updated odds. This is as of today, and this is from my new book. I forgot. Oh, I can just look at my book instead of Googling it.
Could have, yeah.
Dodgers plus 350, Rays plus 750, Yankees plus 800, Padres plus 900, White Sox plus 1,000. Can I give you one more frustration about Five Dimes kicking me out, or kicking Americans out? They refunded all futures bets.
Oh, that sucks.
And I had a 40-1 on the White Sox.
You're not going to win now.
Yeah, so that I just want to point that's garbage. A's plus 1,200, Braves plus 1,400, Twins plus 1,400, Cubs, Astros plus 1,600, Indians plus 2,500, 25-1 on the Indians, and your Blue Jays plus 3,300.
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I like the way they're. Their young guys are playing, but I don't think they have any chance in hell. Not even of winning one of the early series. This is one of those where short season, they're a young team, and they've overperformed, and it might overperform enough to get them in. But it won't be enough to do anything.
It's crazy. We're getting down to it. Like, people are already talking about magic numbers and things like that.
The Dodgers have already clinched.
Dodgers are in. The wild card standings, the Blue Jays lead the wild card race. The Indians right behind them at 26-23. And if I'm not mistaken, it drops down to the Mariners after that. They're four games behind the Indians. So you're down to 11 games. You may already know the eight playoff teams. Like they may already be kind of locked in. Although, well, I shouldn't say that because the Mariners, while they're four games out of the wild card spot, they're only two games behind the Astros. So they could catch the Astros for that second West spot, which for whatever that the second West team gets seeded higher than the first wild card team. And then in the National, right, so current matchups, as if it were to happen now, White Sox, Indians, Rays, Jays, A's, Astros, and Twins, Yankees. And then in the National League, the Cardinals, Brewers, Rockies, Mets, all still in the mix for a wild card. It looks like no other teams are in range of making it as anything but a wild card. But if the playoffs started today, Dodgers versus Giants, Cubs versus Phillies, Braves versus Reds, Padres versus Marlins. So
Marlins.
Isn't that pretty wild?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we knew there was going to be some weird stuff. And I would say Jays, Marlins. Well, hell, the whole AL East. I mean, although I don't think Tampa's a shock at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that team was pretty damn good last year.
Yep.
So.
And Tampa will, they need three more wins to clinch a playoff spot themselves. So. And the White Sox just need one more win, and they'll clinch at least a wild card. Astros' magic number for the division is 18.
Yeah, they're not winning the division.
for the wild card is 9.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be fine, but I don't think they're catching the A's. I thought they would because they had a pretty easy schedule coming in, but
And the A's lost. Basically lost their best player.
Yeah. But
and maybe that gives them an edge in an actual series, like if they were to play them in a playoff series, which is, like I said, it lines up for them to do that right now, but who knows.
But I'd like to see the Astros actually not be under 500 all the time.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be okay.
All right, I got to tell you about TGS, and I told you guys yesterday about Graham, one of our sales guys here. He sent the word, he texted the word money to 232323. I guess he waited until I've been doing commercials for like two, three years for these guys. And then he was like, you know what? Maybe I'll check. And guess what? He's now saving $2,600 annually on his homeowner's insurance. Had he done that 2 years ago, he'd have more than $5,000 in his pocket right now. But he was foolish to wait. And you don't want to be foolish, so don't wait. Do it now. It's so simple. It takes a text message and really not much else. You text that word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. Reply back. They're going to send you a quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. No obligation. If you don't like the quote, you ain't got to take it. No big deal. But I saved over $1,000. The average customer saves over $900. Guys, there's no need to not give it a try. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323. And start saving now with TGS.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One last segment to go. And it's Thursday, so this is where we do a little Hoffman on Hollywood.
Let's start. Where should we start? I guess we can start with Kanye West, who had kind of a wild day yesterday. He had a tweet where he was urinating on a Grammy because he's having problems with his record label. He mentioned Taylor Swift in a tweet about said record label. And someone said that your masters have to be worth more than Taylor Swift's, which I think is probably false, because Taylor Swift is, I know this is crazy, but a bigger star than Kanye West, at least worldwide she is. But now Kanye has come with something even bigger. Kanye, if you don't know, he still has a presidential campaign going on, which is got to be the biggest waste. Bigger waste of money, Kanye West running for president or Joe Jorgensen running for president?
Guessing Kanye can afford it more than Joe, so I'll have to say Joe.
But Joe Jorgensen has a political party backing her. At least, I mean, Kanye West is paying for it all himself, but he's now told his, I guess his campaign staff to stop fornicating outside of marriage. That's going to be one of the policies that he goes with. He says he invented the birthday party as his political affiliation. He's not going to be on the ballot in most states, but is still making a go for it. He has 180 people on his campaign staff.
Jeez.
Tasked with getting him on ballots in Florida and Texas. Their efforts were unsuccessful, but he'll appear on ballots in 9 states, including Colorado, Minnesota, and Iowa. Still, it remains statistically impossible for him to earn enough electoral votes to become president. But he's still out there. He's out there battling. But he's decided now that you are not allowed to, if you're working for him, it is a fireable offense to fornicate. Of course, he's also very anti-abortion. And he says, I don't want to ban abortions, but I don't want to ban or stop or point fingers. Instead, he suggested stipends for families that need support, creating orphanages that are really high level, desirable for people to go to, and the redesign of communities and cities in general to be supporting of families. He also plans to build an eco-village called Birthday Lake, where mothers could safely experience pregnancy and birth, and their children would be cared for afterwards. This all sounds like a giant waste of money, especially after he already said Harriet Tubman never really actually freed any slaves. Mm. And he's not great with the media, and now he's urinating on trophies on Twitter. But that's just my take. Speaking of president, guess who will play Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live this season? Jim Carrey.
Oh, really?
Should be good, too.
Yeah. Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Seen him in anything in forever.
And he and Alec Baldwin will be going head-to-head in the next couple months, I'm guessing, as he signed on to play Joe Biden. So that's exciting. I think that'll be funny. I like it when they get these outside stars to do it instead of just whoever does it best on staff. Like, Alec Baldwin's been so good at doing it. And Joe Biden has been played by 3 people before. Woody Harrelson did it 3 times. Jason Sudeikis did it once. And John Mulaney did it as well. So, but Jim Carrey looks like he's going to be on board for the entire season doing that. There's a lot of people who are kind of poking fun at Tenet for not making a bunch of money.
What was it supposed to do?
Like, maybe they're forgetting that it's a pandemic going on and a lot of people aren't going to the movie theater. It's a $200 million movie. It's amassed less than $30 million in ticket sales since it hit the theaters on September 3rd. And now studios are grappling with whether to release their remaining blockbusters this year or hold them until coronavirus crisis wanes. Really? That's a question now? Last week, Warner Brothers postponed Wonder Woman 1984 to Christmas Day. It was supposed to come out in October. And Universal pushed Candyman to an undetermined date from October 16th. There's also buzz that Disney will delay the November 6th release of Black Widow, as well as the Pixar adventure Soul on November 20th. So, if Black Widow moves, we really don't have a big film for quite a while, they said. There's the James Bond No Time to Die film at Thanksgiving, then Dune and Wonder Woman. We could have a couple big event films, but in terms of depth, that's it. So don't expect any more big movies. But also, Tenet, I haven't seen Tenet. It may be great. I'm not going to know until it's out, you know, on demand.
Well, and I think that's going to be a big issue because I think a lot of us are going to wait for these things. You know, because I don't feel the need to go to a movie theater, but we'll see.
And there is a new She-Hulk, Tatiana Maslany. Are you familiar
Maslany,
with her?
Yes.
Maslany, yeah.
Yeah, she's did Orphan Black. She's fantastic in that.
Do you know how tall she is?
She's not. I don't think she's very tall.
She's 5'4", and she is now the She-Hulk. It basically says the project's just one of a handful of anticipated series Marvel Studios is working on for Disney Plus, with The Falcon and Winter Soldier. WandaVision and Loki are all in production. Maslany also becomes the latest female talent to land a Marvel project, following in the footsteps of Brie Larson and Scarlett Johansson. Marvel head Kevin Feige has made it his mission to diversify the MCU, and this latest addition does just that. Best known for her Emmy-winning role in Orphan Black, she's also coming off her highly lauded role in HBO's Perry Mason.
Yeah, she played a this priestess.
I haven't watched that show. Should I?
It started really slow, but it finished strong. So now I'm kind of excited about the future of it. But I think you'll like it. But she was fan-freaking-tastic in that. And in Orphan Black, where she's basically playing a bunch of clones. So it's her as, like, almost, I don't know how many different characters.
Yeah.
But she was just fantastic. And
Are you familiar with Jessica Gao? G-A-O?
I am not.
She is a writer for Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has been tapped to be the lead writer on She-Hulk.
Yeah, she also was, she's got some other project that she's on now, too. Because apparently everybody thinks the world of her.
Well, there you go. And that's Hoffman on Hollywood, kids.
Just one follow-up, one other MCU thing. It looks like Olivia Wilde is going to either direct or write Spider-Woman.
All right.
Which
I don't need that, but hey, somebody might.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. It makes a big deal out of the fact that she made her directorial debut with the critically acclaimed Booksmart last year. Can I just say Booksmart sucked? I don't know what critics liked it. That movie was awful. So I don't have high hopes. I don't really have any interest in Spider-Woman to begin with. And just like, you know, while that cartoon was cute, the Spider-Verse cartoon was cute, I don't like all these variations of Spider-Man. No. Peter Parker.
I just like Spider-Man.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Ted Tucker put the Astros up 2-0 just now.
Oh, boy. Has the ball landed yet?
I think they're still looking for it.
Damn right.
Is he hitting 400 yet?
Well, he didn't want to do that in a shortened season because he didn't want people like you questioning its validity. All right. You know what you can never question the validity of? Elate Health, they are the best. Because it's Prostate Awareness Month, by the way. So it's time for you to get checked out. If you haven't done it, you probably should go do it. And if you've got BPH, which is an enlarged prostate that's non-cancerous, you can take control and take care of it without surgery. Call Elate Health. Talk to Dr. Doe or Dr. Manavis about the revolutionary minimally invasive procedure, PAE, because you don't need surgery. They do this PAE right there in the office. Nobody in Houston has done more of these PAEs than Dr. Doe, and he was the first doctor in Houston to do it. The surgery, it's awful. It's got a drill inside your pee hole. Nobody wants to do that. That's why PAE exists. Talk to Dr. Doe about it, Dr. Manavis. 832-850-4618. That's 832-850-4618. Take care of BPH without surgery. Learn more at choosepae.com.
Get down, girl. Go ahead. Get down. Get down, girl. Go ahead. Cutie the bomb. Met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.